My Stories of Life podcast by Dwayne Coos. It's unbelievable. Can you see what I can see? Baby, tell me, can you hear me singing? My Stories of Life by Dwayne Coos, the local brewery in my hometown.
In a city known internationally as home to one of the largest granite companies in the world, the Cold Spring name is also well recognized for its 130-year-old brewery. For most of these years, the brewery operated as Cold Spring Brewing Company, but today it is home of the Glick Brewing Company. It was in 1874 that Michael Sargel, an immigrant German brewmeister, opened his brewery at the site of the pure spring waters. The modern-day brewery still stands on the same site where Sargel had a dream to brew beer like he did back in the old country. Ownership at the brewery changed hands a number of times in the early years until late in the 1880s, when John Oster became a partner due to some interesting circumstances. Although Oster's experience with brewing beer was limited at best, he was the proud owner of a steam engine that could no longer be used as a threshing machine. The engine was mounted on wheels, allowing it to be moved from field to field and farm to farm. This mobility was an important feature, where this engine could now be moved from place to place within the brewery. Until 1890, the barley used in the brew batch was refined using horses and treadmill. This steam engine on wheels became a new grain refining innovation at the brewery, and as a result, Oster became a part owner with a half interest in the company. John Oster's second partner was Henry Hilt, and with this new partnership, the brewery was known as Oster and Hilt. Hilt had hay fever health problems, which were severe enough that he had to travel to Washington to try to find some respite. He returned to Cold Spring for a short time, but his health issues continued to plague him. Hilt soon approached a relative of his named Ferdinand Peters to take over the business in his position. Peters bought Hilt's half interest in the brewery, and the name was now changed to Oster and Peters. The new partnership made a strategic change in direction in 1900 when they hired Eugene Hermanutz as their brewmaster and offered him part ownership. Together, the new trio became incorporated and the Cold Spring Brewing Company was born. Oster and Peters also had ownership interest in the Cold Spring Granite Company. This proved to be very important as an avenue by which the brewery was able to provide for its increasing capital needs. The early 1900s were lucrative years for the brewery. This is evident by the homes each of the three owners built across the street from the brewery and on the other side of Brewery Creek. John Oster was first to build his home in 1907. Eugene and Mary Hermanutz built their home on North Red River Road. They had six sons who eventually all worked at the brewery. The two youngest sons apprenticed under their father and became master brewers. In this 1910 photograph, men are shown relaxing with Cold Spring beer. Quoted on the right-hand paragraph, "Automobile riding may be fine, but Cold Spring beer for mine." Early in the Cold Spring Brewing Company history, it began bottling its unique pure spring water. As the winds of Prohibition became blowing in 1917, the brewery introduced its new label, creating Cold Spring Mineral Water. As Prohibition hit on July 1st of 1919, no beer could be sold with more than 0.5% of alcohol by volumes. All the beer that was on hand at the brewery had to be dumped and disposed of. Federal agents arrived at the brewery unexpectedly and dumped the beer into the creek. Oster and Peters stood by and watched the sorry, sorry event. John Oster is seen in the middle scratching his head and Ferdinand Peters with his hands on his hips. The federal agent Peter Kohling is on the far right. Hermanitz had to leave, unable to watch his beer being destroyed. The Cold Spring Brewery survived the 20s and early 30s by producing mineral water, soft drinks, and near beer for the Midwest market. In addition, the owners expanded their interest beyond the brewery, forming the Cold Spring Stock Farm. Here on brewery land in the heart of Cold Spring, they bought, pastured, and sold cattle. Although Oster, Peters, and Hermanitz planned well to weather the brewery turmoil of Prohibition, unfortunately, two of them would never live long enough to see its end on February 20th, 1933. Both Eugene Hermanitz and John Oster died before the brewery was back in production of their famous beer. Ferdinand Peters became company president, and he teamed up with Daniel Oster, the oldest son of John Oster, who became secretary and treasurer of the company. When Peters died in 1938, the brewery faced another challenge. Much of the property and the many assets the company owned had no formal written agreements between the corporate partners. There was no plan by which to settle estates and to protect the ongoing needs of the company. The controls and rationing brought on by our country's entry into World War II further challenged the day-to-day operation of the Cold Spring Brewing Company. After a number of years of difficulty and internal struggles, a young man schooled in finance and management was persuaded to join the company. Myron Johnson, whose resume included College of St. Thomas, University of Minnesota, and Coca-Cola, joined the company in 1942. He decided to become financially involved with the Cold Spring Brewing Company ownership in 1944. Under Johnson's ownership and leadership, brewery operations improved and the company continued to grow and thrive through the 50s, 60s, and 70s. Efforts were made to expand its distribution where 90% of its product was sold in Minnesota and the rest was scattered throughout the Midwest. In 1969, major modernization opportunities occurred in both the brewing and packaging operations at the plant. The company took advantage of a national trend of brewery companies going out of business and purchased both new and used equipment from over 20 different breweries throughout the country. Some of the products the Cold Spring Brewery introduced over the years included Kegel Brow, Arrowhead, and Minnesota 13, a name first given to a prohibition spirits made in Stearns County using the University of Minnesota hybrid corn called Minnesota 13. The brewery also began supplementing its income by becoming a Schlitz beer distributor. One product that gained nationwide recognition overnight involved a deal the brewery made with the Falls Brewing Company of Louisville, Kentucky. Jimmy Carter had become our 39th president of the United States, and the president had a unique brother whose name was Billy. Yes, it was the Cold Spring Brewery in November 1977 who produced the orange, white, and blue cans of the beer carrying the label Billy Beer. In a short 6 months, the product went from skyrocketing sales nationwide to not being able to give it away even locally. The Billy Beer disaster was followed by two more new products introduced to the market, a European-style beer named Cold Spring Export and a new sparkling mineral water. Their marketing strategy was to capture market share by being the lowest priced product available. One area the brewery was able to experience growth and success was in bottled water sales. Between 1968 and 1977, the brewery quadrupled their sales of this product line. The 80s and 90s brought about a long downhill slide for the brewery. Although bottled water sales continued to grow, beer dropped to less than 10% of the brewery's production. Killebrew Root Beer, named after the Minnesota Twins baseball Hall of Famer Harmon Killebrew, was brought to the market in the early 1990s, and unfortunately, it flopped miserably. The brewery's owner, Myron Johnson, struggled to grow the company through greater product distribution. He signed a deal with G. Heilemann Brewing of La Crosse, Wisconsin, to bottle and market Cold Spring Water. Eventually, Johnson sold the Cold Spring Mineral Water name to Heilemann with the agreement the product would be produced in Cold Spring. The final nail in the coffin was when Heilemann decided to be the sole producer of the product out of La Crosse plant, squeezing the Cold Spring Brewery out of the deal totally. Myron Johnson's death in 1995 and the changes in ownership that would soon follow sent the outdated brewery into bankruptcy by January of 1997. The brewery's debt at the time was estimated at somewhere between $4.5 and $11 million. It was in June of 1997 that an investment group surfaced who was interested in acquiring the brewery. The group comprised of former Coors Beer executives Dan and Mabel Coburn of the Coburn Grocery and Convenience Store chain, along with turnaround specialist Judy Charles, put a proposal in front of the First National Bank of Cold Spring, the City of Cold Spring, and Stearns County. What evolved out of this 1977 proposal was a modern-day Cinderella story. Within a year, the group invested well over $2 million into plant equipment to modernize and improve productivity. By July of 1998, the investment group had the plant operating at 30% capacity, employing 30 persons, and on the brink of making money. By the year 2000, things were going so well that John Lenore, a businessman initially interested in the brewery doing custom bottling of his products, decided he wanted a greater say in future of the company. In 2003, Lenore bought out the final partner of the 1997 investment group and became the sole owner of what has now become the Glick Brewing Company. Sales over this time increased from the low of 40,000 cases per year back in 1994 to 500,000 cases in 1999 and over 4 million cases in 2003. The final estimates for 2004 indicate total production to have been somewhere around 8 million cases. The Glick Brewing Company has emerged from the financial and management crisis of the mid-90s to become a successful and lucrative brewery in the 21st century. The company is recognized as the preferred co-packer of energy drinks in the United States, one of only three similar operations in the entire country. It now employs over 120 full-time employees and operates three shifts, running 24 hours a day throughout the year. In the spring of 2005, Glick Brewing Company will begin construction of a new 100,000 square foot warehouse to better handle the continued growth of its annual production. While the recent success is strongly accredited to the company's employees and management, Glick's renaissance of success would have been impossible if not for the successful cooperation and support of the City of Cold Spring, Stearns County, and the initial investment group. All parties took a risk in working with the brewery, but clearly it has paid off for everyone.
My Local Brewery. Researched by the Stearns County Museum, Glick Brewing Company. Written by Dwayne Coos and narrated by Jason Coos. My Stories of Life Podcast by Dwayne Coos. It's unbelievable. Can you see what I can see? Oh, baby, baby, tell me, can you hear me singing? Da ba da ba da ba da ba 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 da 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 ba ba da 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 ba do ba do ba do do ba da 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 ba da 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 ba ba da. But it's a little bit of 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 a little bit